I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Welcome to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. Hope you had a great weekend, and most importantly, happy Monday. There we go. Yeah. Hey, Shonda, I'm going to say happy Ravens Monday. How about that? I know you're from New York, brother, but you're in Baltimore now, so you just have to accept. You just got to accept what it is. Man, really, let me tell you, I can't wait. And I know there's a lot of other things. We're going to get to the big, heavy stuff in a minute, folks. But I'm telling you, I was on fire yesterday when I saw the, I mean, God, I was like, oh, it's like, ooh, ah, hey, I was on fire yesterday watching the Ravens play, man. It's like Lamar Jackson, God, Marquise Hollywood Brown, ooh, J.K. Dobbins. Man, I'm telling you, big shout. Hey, Sean, now, can we give him another warm round of applause, man? I'm just, and we got the Bills this weekend. But let me tell you, I love the Ravens game, but I don't think no game took me. Hey, Sean, you remember that Steelers game? I don't think I've never seen ever. First snap. Like, oh, you already knew. You already knew from the first snap this was not going to be a good game for Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-mm. This one's not going to be good. And it's like, man, oh, man, terrible towel. That's exactly what the team is. Terrible. Terrible. I know some Steelers fans going to come after me, but come forward. You know, I want all that smoke, Steelers fans. I want all that smoke. Let me tell you something. But no, it was, I never seen 28 points in the first quarter. Never seen that. They said it was the first time in playoff history. I mean, just 28 points in the first quarter? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Whew, talking about, I mean, a comeback, but jeez. But yeah, we'll see how we'll keep that momentum going, folks, going into the next phase of this playoff process. Up next, the Buffalo, I would say the Buffalo Wonderful Bills. I mean, they're really playing football right now. So it's not going to be an easy task, but we take it one day at a time. Right, Coach Harbaugh? That's how we do it. One game at a time. That's it. Keep your eyes focused on that one game. Folks, we have a lot to talk about. Man, it's been such a crazy, crazy weekend because of so much that is happening as part of the aftermath of the, some people call it the Trump insurrection, some people call it the Capitol riots, whatever you call it, it is an ongoing process. And the latest right now is that the president is under some real heavy fire, either for him to resign or to get impeached, or possibly get thrown out of office if Vice President Mike Pence moves forward with that option. And so today, of course, the big thing is that the House Democrats move forward with drafting the articles of impeachment. And they want to impeach Donald Trump, who has less than 10 days, 9 days now, 9 days left in office. They're trying to impeach him, and they're trying to do it as early as within the next 2 or 3 days. They're talking about as early as Wednesday, possibly. And so the big charge for their impeachment, inciting an insurrection. That's the big one. And when we look at this situation, folks, of how crazy it has gotten, it just goes to show us that I think that we are really in a situation that we did not ever, we couldn't have imagined. The crazy part about it is that there have been so many signs of things getting to this point. And I'm even not necessarily shocked, but it's almost like you're just so frustrated, because even after all of this, some of the Republicans are still blocking the path to impeach the president, to move forward on some level of consequences against the president for what he has done. And then you have some other Republicans who are trying to backtrack out of being complicit, being somewhat of responsible for helping to create the environment by which all of these things are happening. Just again, folks, remember last week we said, you know, this is above the pay grade. So we just got to sit back and watch what happened, and not try to invoke or try to put too much of ourselves into the situation that has already been determined. This has already been determined, folks. And so what we're seeing right now is just the unfolding, and more importantly, the unraveling of a government and a country in a very, very big way. Very big way. It gets almost to the point where it's not just about Donald Trump. Can we say that? It gets to that point where it's not just about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump as the man is one thing. But Donald Trump and what he represents is something else. And that's the place that I'm at. Donald Trump and what he represents, how he is able to excite his base. And even with the conversation with the FBI warning, saying that they're going to be 50, you know, that there should be some warning, or there should be some mindfulness around, you know, Trump supporters and followers possibly raining some level of violence on cities and states across the country, 50 states. But it's not just about him. It really is beyond him. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't even think that if he wanted to put this genie back into the bottle, he had the power to do so. Hillary Clinton. Y'all remember Hillary Clinton? She was a former U.S. senator representing the state of New York, the Secretary of State, and she was the Democratic nominee for president in 2016. You know Hillary Clinton, the wife of Bill Clinton, former president. She put out a piece today that I want us to consider, and I'm going to share with you just what she had to say. I want to share with you what other folks have to say. But the piece she put out was, Trump should be impeached, but that alone won't remove white supremacy from America. It was a piece that was published in the Washington Post, so you can find it. But she brought up some points that I think that are worthy of a discussion, because it speaks volumes about where we are. And this is coming from Hillary Clinton. This is the same woman who many have said is you know, against the rise of black people. Many have said that, you know, she helped to create the narrative, the negative narrative around black boys and men by calling us super predators, the whole thing, her whole history as well. But she wrote this piece. And she said, quote, Trump ran for president on a vision of America where whiteness is valued at the expense of everything else. In the White House, he gave white supremacists, members of the extreme right, and conspiracy theorists their most powerful platform yet, even claiming that they were, quote, unquote, very fine people among the torch-wielding militia members who converged on Charlottesville in 2017. She said, by the time he lost in 2020, he had whipped a dangerous element of our country into a frenzy. His supporters began planning their insurrection, making plans to march on the Capitol and stop the steal. Members of Congress, including Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, Senator Ted Cruz, and Representative Mo Brooks, encouraged him, in Brooks' words, to start taking down names and kicking butt. Trump left no doubt about his wishes in the lead up to January 6th and with his incendiary words before his mob descended. So how do we move forward as a country? What does it say about us that so many were complicit while those who sounded the alarm were dismissed as hysterical? This is from Hillary Clinton, folks. She said, fanatical ideas, check this out, can lead to real, even deadly harm. She said, that's something the people of Michigan realized last year when armed militia members plotted to kidnap their governor. It's something Nashvillians saw when a conspiracy theorist blew up an entire city block. Now it's something all of America has experienced. But it's not enough to scrutinize and prosecute the domestic terrorists who attacked our Capitol. We all need to do some soul searching of our own. Check this out, folks. This is what she said now. In Isabel Wilkerson's new book, Cast, she cites a question from historian Taylor Branch. If people were given the choice between democracy and whiteness, how many would choose whiteness? This is the question that was posed in Cast. She said, Hillary Clinton now saying, Wednesday reminded us of an ugly truth. There are some Americans, more than many, want to admit who would choose whiteness. She said, it's sobering that many people were unsurprised by what occurred last week, particularly people of color, for whom a violent mob waving Confederate flags and hanging nooses is a familiar sight in American history. Consider what we saw last June when Black Lives Matter protesters peacefully demonstrating in Lafayette Square were met with federal officers and tear gas. If the first step toward healing and unity is honesty, truth, that starts with recognizing that this is indeed part of who we are. Removing Trump from office is essential. I believe he should be impeached. But that alone won't remove white supremacy and extremism from America. There are changes elective leaders should pursue immediately, including advocating new criminal laws at the state and federal levels that hold white supremacists accountable and tracking the activities of extremists such as those who breached the Capitol. Twitter and other companies made the right decision to stop Trump from using their platform, but they will have to do more to stop the spread of violent speech and conspiracy theories. She said, despite the horror of what we saw happen in the weeks and months ahead, the news cycle will move on. We owe it to ourselves not to do the same. We have the strength, the ability, and yes, the imagination to confront what happened and ensure that nothing like it ever happens again. That's what real patriotism looks like. That was from Hillary Rodham Clinton, former Secretary of State. Interesting. Interesting. I think it's interesting because of who she is and what she represents. But I also think it's interesting that we are coming to a place where this is a wake-up call for a lot of people, particularly the white community. It's not going to be an easy wake-up call. You know how you get a wake-up call, your alarm clock goes off? Sometimes it goes off one time, you hit it. Two times, and after a while, your brain, you tell yourself, I'm not even going to pay attention to it. Until the alarm is so unbearable. The sound, it's just so unbearable that you got to wake up. That's the place that we're in this country when it comes to this. But I want to get your take on this. Because I feel like what the former Secretary of State had to say, there's some truth there. But how many people are actually going to heed to the wisdom that she shares with this? There has to be some honesty. I agree with her wholeheartedly. I want to take your thoughts on this. 410-319-8888. I got some more folks I want to bring to your attention as we talk about this. 410-319-8888. Also, post your comments on my Facebook page and share with me your thoughts, because we are seeing something now. But Hillary is saying there's got to be a much deeper soul searching that has to happen. My concern is what we've been seeing, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, because we're going to talk to a professor about this, that even if you shut them down on Twitter, it's like whack-a-mole or something else new going to pop up. You know, the idea that President Trump has already stood for and has shown the world that he is behind. The idea of superiority. The idea of destructive false patriotism. The idea of not holding one himself accountable. I mean, the president hasn't even apologized. I mean, genuinely, truthfully apologized for his role in what was done at the Capitol. And let's talk about the impact of that this demonstration makes on future conversation. I mean, there's just so many things that come up in here. And so when I was reading Hillary Clinton's information, I was just like, yeah. And I think that the big thing is that white people in positions of power are seeing something that they never see before. Mick Mulvaney, who used to, I think he was one of the chief of staffs of the president, said he was always can give you, he said this in a recent interview like a couple of days ago, that he can always give you a reason as to why the president decided to do his thing the way he did it. He said, I can always talk about policy, I can always talk about personality. He said, but what we saw last Wednesday, I can't defend. He can't defend it. It was like an ugly reminder of oneself. Let's go to the phone line. Let me get Tracy in first, and then we got to take a quick pause. Tracy, thank you for checking in. What's your take on what you heard from Hillary Clinton so far?
How you doing, Faraji?
I'm all right, Tracy.
Well, I think everything she says is true to form. I've also, Hillary, not too long after Trump was elected, she said that America is going to experience some dark days.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to touch on here, but I think we also need to realize you know, the integration into white America was done by a law. Laws were legislated for us to do what we can do now. It wasn't just a kumbaya, okay, we love you now, African Americans, we love you. So come on and we have the kumbaya moment. You know, what the workplace, where we live, all this was legislated by law. It didn't like white people didn't suddenly just start loving us. We have to remember that also.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's so much to touch on, but I'm going to make it really quick, just a couple of bullet points. If you recall, when Obama was president, we didn't have this crazy uprising, okay? Obviously, we all know Trump emboldened these people. But it's also, you have to recognize who is president at the time. When Barack Obama was president, president is given a lot of powers. He's the puppeteer. He can do this, do that. He can legislate. He can allow different agencies to do different things. And when Obama was in office, they didn't have this uprising because he had the power to enforce law enforcement. FBI can investigate things. CIA can go after you. Homeland Security. So he knows all these things weren't. And that was the first black president. So you probably thought that, oh, my God, first black president, these white people going to go crazy.
Yeah.
They didn't because he could control the different arms of the government. When Trump came in, he told them, hey, I'm here for you. I'm your white nationalist president. You can do what you want. And you saw automatically, you saw all this uprising of hate crime. If you recall, if you pay attention, the FBI was saying hate crimes have risen through the roof.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, said, oh, my God. I mean, these numbers were blowing up.
Yeah.
And some of it also has to do with, okay, that's the crust of America. We know that. America came to be, in my opinion, was a criminal act. You know, the creation of this country was a terrorist act.
Yeah.
So we also have to start with the crust of it, you know, of the pie before we even fill it in.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Tracy, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. I agree with you. We really do have to become mindful, and we cannot. I can't stress this enough, folks. I said it just a couple of days ago that even in the midst of all of this chaos and this confusion and what we saw at the Capitol siege, at the root of it is still the treatment and the condition of black and brown people in this country. We're still right there in the mix of things. We're still right there in the middle. And so while we're having a conversation about whiteness, we got to make sure that the conversation about whiteness is in the proper context in relationship to blackness, to brownness, right? Meaning that there can't be this separate narrative about white people or the struggles of the poor white man or poor white woman or all of these things without having a continued conversation about the treatment of black people and the condition of brown people and the indigenous community. We can't separate that. That was white rage and white anger that we saw on Wednesday. But at the same time, there was white privilege and white entitlement based upon the condition and the reference being the Black Lives Matter movement. So I'm bringing that point up to say that we can't have the conversation like two or three different conversations. These things are all intertwined together. Folks, I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, I want to hear more of your thoughts. I'll share with you some more thoughts from Hillary Clinton and some other voices around this issue. Join me in the discussion, 410-319-8888. Also, post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture on WEAA. I do this.
this for my culture, 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 culture.
To For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, let's talk about what's been happening. Of course, right now in Washington, they are talking about impeachment. They're talking about removing the president because of his involvement in what the House Democrats have described as inciting an insurrection on last Wednesday, January the 6th. And so because of those events, it has opened the door and opened the conversation about white supremacy in a way that we probably haven't seen in a while. We're kicking off 2021 with this. And so I just shared with you some remarks that Hillary Clinton wrote as part of her op-ed, where she makes the point that Trump should be impeached, but that alone won't remove white supremacy from America. Where she is coming to the understanding, where she's asking a question, what does it say about us that so many were complicit while those who sounded the alarm were dismissed as hysterical, talking about the president and his politics and his views? But she also made the point, when fanatical ideas can lead to real, even deadly harm, and that it's important for us to do some soul searching. Now, she's not talking about, I mean, she could be talking about all of us, but I don't think she is. Because when she quoted Isabel Wilkerson's book, Cast, where it's the question comes from the historian Taylor Brent, the question of being, if people were given the choice between democracy and whiteness, how many would choose whiteness? That book is about pushing the white community to see itself for who they are and what they have done. And she said, Hillary Clinton said, quote, Wednesday reminded us of an ugly truth. There are some Americans, more than many want to admit, who would choose whiteness. See, that's a disease. And so when you're at that point, that soul searching, being honest and truthful, come on, we gotta be truthful. And I think it's important that black people in particular, that's why I think that part of the reason why we should sit back and just kind of watch, because that is what we've been calling for. We've been wanting white people to see the horror that their brethren have been causing us. Not all, we always say, you know, not all white people. I get that. But at the end of the day, the disease has gotten to be so bad. The poisonous mindset of white supremacy is so bad. And then the institutionalized policy of white supremacy has gotten to be so bad that it has literally infected every one of us in some way, shape, or form. And those who are part of the white community and have not fully accepted the truth of what white supremacy has done, who have shied away from it, who have denied that it even exists, or tried to put it in a context or space that it only existed during slavery It only existed during the civil rights movement. Black people are more in positions of power now. Black people got more money now. There is no white supremacy. Now it's just based upon pulling up your own bootstraps. That mindset. Look how distorted that thinking is. Because I don't remember when the end of white supremacy happened. Somebody give me a date. When did that happen? Did we have a national mourning of the idea of white supremacy? I know we've had many mournings of the N-word, but when was the mourning of white supremacy? When was that? Because I didn't get an obituary for that one. So we do have to, there's some real soul searching that has to be done. I agree with the former first lady. I agree with that. She might have to do that herself after the things she said, and when she has created a climate. Come on, man. Come on. Let's stop playing with this. If we want to go and be honest and truthful, let's be honest and truthful all the way. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Christina. Christina, thank you for checking in. What's your take?
Hi, Farazi. Thank you for having me.
You're
this
welcome.
Evening. And thank you for having this discussion. I appreciate you and Dr. K. For so many years, you have empowered our community. And I'm so thankful that people across the nation can now hear you with different technological means. So thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on what you said about Trump and his apology. Mm-hmm. I want us as a people to stop waiting and wanting and desiring apologies from white people. That's the first thing, especially coming from Trump, because it would not be sincere. So that shouldn't even be on the table to even want that. And then I also wanted to comment on one of your speakers, Tracy. I think she talked about the deeply rooted hate. I wanted to just agree with that. There is a hate that is within white people that we can view just over 400 years of being enslaved, that all of us as a country, as a nation, as a global world, we really need to take a look at that and why we are hated so much. We are a people that, a black people that are full of so much love. We love everyone. We nurturing people is within us. But instead, we continue to be envied by so many people. We continue to be hated by so many people, and particularly now because of what has happened and what has been brought to the forefront in this Trump administration, we see that hate is still embedded in those that have enslaved us, their ancestors that have enslaved us. That's been passed down throughout the generations. That's what I believe. I'm so glad you talked about white privilege. I'm so glad you talked about white entitlement. I want us as a people to stop searching and looking for inclusion. Instead, I want us to rise up together and build black dollars, become black homeowners, build black businesses, and make black money, which is what we had in the 60s before integration.
Let me ask you this, yeah. Christina, because I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there needs to be some atonement coming from the white community to black and brown and indigenous communities of this country?
I do. And I believe our white brethren who are fighting with us in this movement, in this Black Lives Matter movement, need to say to their white family members, to their white constituents, to their white employers and colleagues, that you gotta dig deep in this. And there can no longer be a saying that racism does not exist. There can no longer be a saying that this hatred does not exist for beautiful black and brown people that have built this nation with our own hands. There has to be an atonement. Let's go back to former First Lady, former Secretary of State, Clinton. Even within herself, within her family, taking a deep look at her ancestors, we could not buy property as freed Americans in this country. We were not afforded the right to land in this country. And now moving forward, the bootstrap comment that you make, how can we pull up a bootstrap, and I know you've heard this one, when we don't even have a boot?
Or we don't have no straps.
We don't even have the
straps. We don't even have no damn shoestrings.
We don't even, come on. Don't even.
We're going to pull out the eyelets of the boot?
That's what I'm trying to understand.
Get the heck out of here with that, man.
That's what I'm trying to
pull up the bootstrap. Let me tell you. Because there's something, and you know what, Christina, I appreciate you for bringing up the point. Thank you so much for checking in. I think, and people really don't understand, like on a very fundamental level, and this is not just about, this is about bringing some peace of mind to us, because we've all been damaged. I said that. We've all been damaged by white supremacy. We've all been damaged by the inferiority and superiority relationship, slave-master-slave relationship that exists in America. We've all been damaged by that, primarily black and white, and then it spills over into other communities and other people. But here's the thing, though. The big thing is that there is some psychological damage when you do wrong and you don't apologize. There's some psychological damage when you do wrong and you try to omit or disregard or try to act as if the damage that you've done, don't you hate this? Somebody do you wrong and then trying to quantify how much damage, how much they've done to hurt you. It's not even that much. You know what I mean? We say stuff like that. We say, oh, man, it's not even that much. It shouldn't even hurt that much. How are you going to quantify how much damage, how much of a violation has affected me when you're not me? You're the one who's the perpetuator of the damage. That doesn't make sense. So you can't tell somebody who you've done wrong how much they should feel bad about your wrongness. Can't do it. Or you try to just gloss over. Can't do it. Can't do it, folks. Let me just share this with you. Because Melania Trump, the First Lady of the United States, she put out a statement today. And it misses the mark for me. It misses the mark. Because when you got Hillary Clinton on with this statement, And she trying to get there. She, you know, I hear Hillary trying to get there. But then you got Melania, misses the mark. Melania puts out this statement and said, quote, and I'm not going to read the whole statement, but just a little section of it. She said, as your First Lady, has been inspiring to witness firsthand what the people of our great nation will do for one another, especially when we are at our most vulnerable. With nearly every experience I have had, I found myself carrying many individual stories home with me in my heart. Most recently, my heart goes out to Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt, who was the one woman who was killed during the Capitol riot when she literally jumped through the window trying to get into an area of the Capitol where the police were blocking off. She jumped into the window and was shot and killed by the Capitol Police. Benjamin Phillips, Kevin Greeson, Roseanne Boylan, and Capitol Police officers Brian Sicknick and Howard Liebengood. Brian Sicknick was killed in the riot. Howard Liebengood was the officer that was pummeled. He was beaten on the steps of the United States Capitol by a group of Trump supporters. One of them had the American flag attached to the pole that was beating this man. He wound up committing suicide. First Lady says, I pray for their family's comfort and strength during this difficult time. This is what she said. I am disappointed and disheartened with what happened last week. I find it shameful that surrounding these tragic events, there have been salacious gossip, unwarranted personal attacks, and false misleading accusations on me from people who are looking to be relevant and have an agenda. This time is solely about healing our country and its citizens. It should not be used for personal gain. Who the hell is she talking about? I mean, seriously. Madam First Lady. Are you talking to this country, or are you talking? You should be talking to your husband. I mean, seriously, I'm not even trying to joke around with this, folks. How can you jump from seeing a situation like what we saw on the Capitol? People have died as a result of the matter. And then talk about this time is solely about healing our country and its citizens. It should not be used for personal gain when your husband from November 4th or the election to this very day for the past month has been on this tirade. She said, our nation must heal in a civil manner. Make no mistake about it. I absolutely condemn the violence that has occurred on our nation's capital. Violence is never acceptable. Who are you talking to? See, this is what I'm saying, folks. That when you sew off, you know, when... I mean, look, Hillary took a stance that's a little bit more humble. But then you got the first lady that's acting as if she, your husband has embodied this division. You get mad because people are attacking you. But when you're married, you take on the burdens of your husband, just like your husband takes on the burdens of the wife. When you're married, he's a reflection of you and you are a reflection of him. Oh, man. You can't heal if you don't even acknowledge that you got pain. You don't even acknowledge the source. You don't even acknowledge how certain events led up to this point. You just automatically want to jump to healing. You can't heal based on no lie, man. Come on. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Gene.
Hey, yes. Laraji.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah, man. Calm down, brother.
Oh, brother. I mean, look, I'm calm. I'm just
calm Gene, down, man.
Real talk. It doesn't make sense, sir. Okay. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, so I'm gonna be just a tad tongue in cheek and I don't know what they're expressing. You know, I'm being facetious. So what are we going to do with these racist white supremacists? Do you think we need to send them to re-education centers?
I don't know, brother.
Do you think we need to round them up? I'm serious.
I don't know. I feel somewhat like I can't even speak to that. Because
okay, we can't speak. No, okay.
I can't speak to that just because... I don't want to put too much out there.
Sure, but do we want? Okay, let's agree. I'll be.
Go ahead.
Oh, do we want them to apologize? Is that what you want? We want them to apologize. We want them to recognize. Correct. Well, obviously.
Well, you know what? You know what? Here's why I push back on that too, Gene. Here's why I push back on that too, brother. Because we have, and I'm saying black folks, we have been trying to the darnest. We have hearts of gold. And I'm not just talking about black people. I'm just talking about people of goodwill.
Uh-huh. The altruist.
And, brother, you know what? It's like I said, I'm not going to speak too far into it, but I'm just saying something has to be done. But for us, I'm not expecting them to apologize because I think we'll be waiting till the cows come home for that to happen.
Yeah, atonement, they ain't gonna atone either.
You know what I'm saying? So it's almost to that place where you just like, you know what? We're gonna have to build a new reality.
Okay. So let me just talk about okay, I wanna
without your involvement.
Yeah. The impeachment. What didn't we learn about the impeachment, Faraji? Because don't we know the process now? And isn't the same Congress in place? So I don't understand about impeaching him in the sense that, okay, I get it that the House is going to impeach him. It's just the process. But again, it's, what the heck is this? Like when
the impeachment
Michael
still
Brown and
is,
got shot, and then we can't convict them, right?
No,
and
what's
so
his
when
thing?
It goes to the when it goes to the Senate, I don't mean to cut you off,
talk
you over. I know my time is limited, but when it Senate, they're not going to have enough votes to convict them.
You know what, and I think I understand where you're getting to, because remember we talked to Congressman Kwaisi Mfume last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was and the point that I asked him was, well, Mr. Congressman, Mr. Mfume, why go through this process? He only got a few days left in office. Mm-hmm. And I think he said something that I had to reflect on. He said, because we at least got to show this country and the rest of the world that there are going to be consequences when you do certain things. If nothing else, if you don't go forward on impeaching this man, or at least saying, look, we can't allow this to happen. Now, the ball will be in the Senate's court at that point, right? And if the Senate says, well, no, he got a couple of days left, no, and you still got people wishy-washy, what you're doing is you're continuing to expose the division in the government. And more importantly, the congressman said this. He said, we are now putting in certain articles in this new clause in the articles where the person with Trump can't hold any other public office for the rest of his life. That, like, they're up, they revised
I
impeachment.
I understand all of that, but what I'm saying is, you said wishy-washy. If I don't go to a Democrat, Republican, independent.
Yeah.
Any human being, and women understand this more than men will ever understand it. Women ain't gonna mess with no wishy-washy brothers. And anybody who's in public office who have constituents, if they show up wishy-washy, they out anyway.
All
so
right.
They gotta stay true to their party.
And you know what? You stay truthful to the party at the detriment of the country, and watch what happens.
Well, it's only the detriment to the Democrats.
No, no. It's the detriment
I
to the country.
I know what you mean. Like it's going to.
You see what I'm saying? You keep playing this party politics. This partisan politics.
They still playing party politics.
I get it. And watch what happens.
I mean,
I gotta let you go, dear brother. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. African, talk to me. What's your take?
Walaikum
salam.
Yes. First of all, we left a law out. A law is God. And a law runs things.
Now,
here go the problem. We left God out. But God, you know, there's two kingdoms down here. It's the kingdom of darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we see all around us. It's not just happening here. It's all over the world like this.
Right.
Plus, I think it's going to kick off into North Avenue, into, you know, the Inner Harbor. All of this going, all this violence we see at the White House is coming right to our neighborhood.
I hope not, brother.
No, it ain't no hope. It is, brother, because it's happening all over the world. This is revelation, and it's good over evil.
I get that.
And that's
I
when
get
Allah
that.
Who
I'm,
Akbar
look, look, and brother African, I'm saying.
No, you didn't hear what I said. That's when Allah who Akbar gonna step in. That's
I get
my
that.
Point.
He already stepped in. Because remember, brother African, we already said that this is above our pay grade. The divine forces are already playing a part in this. That's why I said we need to fall back and not speak too deep into the situation with conjectures and taking us into the skies, when the fact that, guess what, the things that we have always wanted to see, the things that we hope to see, is starting to unfold. So we can't, let's not put ourselves into a situation like that. All I'm saying is that even in the midst of all this, I still don't want my people and people of goodwill and intentions and consciousness to be harmed. That's all I'm saying. And I appreciate you, African. Let me just share this very quickly. Because I'm just taking us on this journey now. And this is why, folks, when we are getting to this point where people are so tired of the back and forth, the partisan poison and all of this, this is why you got Hillary Clinton, you got a Melania Trump on that side. This is why you have a man like Colin Powell, who I know has had a very, very checkered history track record because of his involvement in the war in Iraq and all of those things. that he used to work for the Bush administration. But he said he is no longer a Republican following the deadly insurrection at the Capitol. He said, I can no longer call myself a fellow Republican. I'm not a fellow of anything right now. I'm just a citizen who has voted Republican, voted Democrat throughout my entire career. And right now, I'm just watching my country and not concerned with parties. That's what he said. Yep. And I don't think he's the only one that feels that way. That's why we can't jump so far into it. I'm leading this up to just to a point, just so you can watch what happened. But all of these things are leading us up to a point where we're going to become so dissatisfied, and the dissatisfaction level is so high right now that it's going to create the universal change that we have been yearning for, that we have been seeking, that we have been praying for. So all of those things, and let's say this, folks. As this universal change happens, the change comes through men and women. It ain't just some spookiness. It's going to come through the hearts and mind of men and women of good consciousness, not just black people, white people. It's going to change. Things are going to change for so many people on a lot of different levels. And so we can't be so up in the sky wishing for change to come out in some, you know, spirit-like situation and overlook the change that can come from the hands of men and women. It's going to happen. People are getting tired of this. We saw that in the Capitol. But I'm like Brother African, there is a war right now, folks. There is a very, very real war of light and dark. And at this point, you got to ask yourself whose side you want to be on, with your ignorance or with your brilliance. Are you part of the army of the light or the army of the dark? We got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, but I'm going to talk up to Professor Iram Sinwright from American University to talk to us about the impact of the social media unfriending President Trump and what that means for you. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA.